Hare Krishna, everyone. Welcome to Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Ajokshaja Krishna Prabhu to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th Canto, 16th Chapter, 23rd and 24th verse. Before we hand over the call to Prabhu, I request Ayan to give a brief introduction of today's speaker. Ayan, over to you.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Nanak Pranam. I offer my wishes to all assembled devotees, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Here's a very brief introduction for our today's speaker, His Grace Ajokshaja Krishna Prabhu. His Grace Ajokshaja Krishna Prabhuji came in touch with Bhagavad Gita and ISKCON in 2013. Prabhuji earned a BTEC in electronics and communication. Prabhuji served as a hardware engineer in the Indian Navy from 2014 to 2017. He was initiated in 2017 by His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj. Ajokshaja Krishna Prabhuji is currently working independently and trying to understand Srila Prabhupada's books. And Prabhuji is certainly doing many more services like giving classes in our group. Over to you.
Hare Krishna, Ayan Prabhu, thank you for the brief introduction. I guess Prabhuji is not on the call. We can wait for him. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, yeah. Prabhu, for joining and giving your association. Welcome to the call. We are very fortunate to have you on the call, Prabhu. Today's verse is 6th Canto, 16th chapter, 23rd and 24th verse, Prabhu. I now hand over the call to you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर भवति नैष्ठिकी. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 6, Chapter 16, Text 23 and 24. Text 23 has no purport, so I'll just recite the verse and read its translation. Then we'll recite text 24 together and see the translation and purport. Chapter 16, entitled King Chitraketu Meets the Supreme Lord. Text number 23. Yanna sprashanti na vidur mano buddhindriya savaha antar bahishcha vitatam vyomavattannatosmiyaham. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. The Supreme Brahman emanates from the Supreme Personality of Godhead and expands like the sky. Although untouched by anything material, it exists within and without. Nonetheless, the mind, intelligence, senses and living force can neither touch Him nor know Him. I offer unto Him my respectful obeisances. Text 24. Devotees can recite after me without unmuting themselves. Dehendriya prana mano dhiyomi yadamsha vidha pracharanti karmasu naivanyadaloham iva prataptam thaneshu tadrashtra padesham eti dehendriya prana mano dhiyomi yadamshaviddhaha pracharanti karmasu naivanyadaloham iva prataptam thaneshu tadrashtra padesham eti dehendriya prana mano dhiyomi यदम शविद्धः प्रचरन्ति कर्मसु नैवान्यदा लोहम इव प्रतप्तम स्थानेषु तद्रष्ट्र पदेशमेति. वर्ड टू वर्ड मीनिंग, देह द बॉडी, इंद्रिय सेंसेस, प्राण लाइफ एयर्स, मनः माइंड, धियः एंड इंटेलिजेंस, अमी ऑल दोस यत अंशविद्धाः being influenced by rays of Brahman or the Supreme Lord. Pracharanti, they move. Karmasu, in various activities. Na, not. Eva, indeed. Anyada, at other times. Loham, iron. Iva, like. Aprataptam, not heated by fire. Thaneshu, in those circumstances. Tat, that. Drashtra apadesham, the name of a subject matter. Eti achieves. Translation. As iron has the power to burn when made red hot in the association of fire, so the body, senses, living force, mind and intelligence, although merely lumps of matter, can function in their activities when infused with a particle of consciousness by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As iron cannot burn unless heated by fire, the bodily senses cannot act unless favored by the Supreme Brahman. Purport. Red hot iron can burn, but it cannot burn the original fire. Therefore, the consciousness of the small particle of Brahman is fully dependent on the power of the Supreme Brahman. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Vattah smritir jnanam apohanam cha. From me, the conditioned soul receives memory, knowledge, and forgetfulness. The power for activities comes from the Supreme Lord. And when the Lord withdraws this power, the conditioned soul no longer has energy with which to act through his various senses. The body includes 5 knowledge acquiring senses, 5 active senses, and the mind. But actually, these are merely lumps of matter. For example, the brain is nothing but matter. But when electrified by the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the brain can act just as iron can burn when made red hot by the influence of fire. The brain can act while we are awake or even while we are dreaming. But when we are fast asleep or unconscious, the brain is inactive. Since the brain is a lump of matter, it does not have independent power with which to act. It can act only when favored by the influence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is Brahman or Parabrahman. This is the way to understand how the Supreme Brahman, Krishna, is present everywhere, just as the sunshine is present because of the sun god in the sun globe. The Supreme Lord is called Rishikesha. He is the only conductor of the senses. Unless empowered by his energy, our senses cannot act. In other words, he is the only seer, the only worker, the only listener, and the only active principal or supreme controller. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Meritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamahayam Dadati Swapadantikam वंदेहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च नमाम विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनि इति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पश्चात्य देशतारिणे नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामने गौरत्विषे नमः. हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी. वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवास आदि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। Hare Krishna. So the current chapter is discussing how King Chitraketu, after hearing the instructions from his dead son brought to life, which was not his son actually, he was Narad Muni himself, who had expanded into the son's body, and through that body Narad Muni was speaking all those verses to cut King Chitraketu's illusion. So we saw in previous verses how, after hearing the bitter truth of this material world, that all the relationships are illusory based on this body, and because this body is temporary, so all the relationships are also temporary. One who thinks this as permanent or tries to enjoy these relationships is certainly in deep illusion. So sages, their words are meant to cut through our illusions. And Narad Muni, who is the most empowered sage, he is Shaktyavesh Avatar of Lord Vishnu. He spoke through the dead son. His preaching ways are unique and it never fails. So it impacted King Chitraketu and his wife also, and as well as all the other queens too. So after listening the words from his own son, that he is nobody's son actually. Nobody is his father, nobody is his mother. And just like earthen pot, it is created from earth. Earth is its support and then it mixes back in the earth. Similarly, everything is created from Supreme Brahman. Everything is maintained by Supreme Brahman and everything goes back in Supreme Brahman. So after hearing all this in Chitraketu, he immediately gave up all his family connection, family illusion, which is most difficult to give up, but he could give it up easily. And then he surrendered to Angira Rishi and Narad Muni. And then Narad Muni instructed him in the science of devotional service, which is known as Mahavidya in this chapter. So we are reading those verses in sequence. So in today's verse, first it says that Supreme Brahman. Now what is Brahman? We know, I mean we have heard, we don't know, but we have heard that a soul is part and parcel of Supreme Lord. And when it comes in touch with material energy, then it is conditioned. Now, Prabhupada explains, in fact, our great Acharya Srila Sridhar Swami explains that it is not that the soul, when it comes in contact with material energy, it becomes conditioned. Conditional life begins only after one is infected by the modes of material nature. Conditional life begins when one is infected by the modes of material nature. An example given is, just like someone may come in the prison house, but he may not be a criminal, like president visiting prison cell. So president is still president. He has all his power, and from prison also, he can exercise all his powers. It will be foolish to believe or think that president has also become a criminal now, or is equal to the prisoner. So similarly, the pure devotees of Lord, who are sent by Supreme Lord to this world, and Supreme Lord himself, when he descends, they are not infected by the modes of material nature. So even though they are in material world, they are not in material. They are untouched by material contamination, unlike souls like us. we are contaminated by three modes of material nature. So Brahman means Prabhupada at various places, in various purports, Prabhupada explains the meaning of Brahman. Brahman means Brihatva, Brihatva. We know Mahatattva, from which entire creation comes. But Brahman is source of Mahatattva, so the greatest of all. And who is the greatest of all? The greatest of all is Sri Krishna. At other place, Brahman means, some people, they describe Brahman as impersonal absolute with no material qualities. At one place, various places, you can just search in folio, Prabhupada in various purports and various conversations and lectures, talk about what is Brahman. The Brahman means the greatest. Para Brahman or Brahman means greatest. Or Brahman also means spirit, spiritual. So the verse, today's verse explains that Supreme Brahman, it emanates from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it is like his bodily rays. Yasya prabha prabhavato jagadanda koti koti shvashesha vasudhadi vibhuti binnam tad brahma nishkalam anantam ashesha bhutam govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. So Lord Brahma prays in this verse. Yasya prabha. Kasya prabha? Yasya. Yasya means ye, this personality about whom I'm talking, I'm praying to. Such this personality. Who is he? Govinda Adi Purusha. His bodily rays, Yasya Prabha, Prabhavato Jagadanda Koti. And under that, in that rays, in vast spiritual sky, there are Jagadanda Koti. Koti means in crores. Innumerable Jagat, under, in the shape of an under, means spherical. They are floating in this Brahma Jyoti. And that Brahma is Anantam. Nishkalam, Anantam, Ashesha Bhutam. It has no beginning, no end, but this is the beginning. Actually, it has no end, but the beginning is Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, his own bodily effulgence. This is beyond our imagination, how one person's effulgence is unlimited, and then unlimited worlds are floating in that, spiritual worlds. So that Supreme Brahman is source of everything. That Supreme Brahman emanates from Supreme Personality of Godhead. And just like sky is not visible to our eyes, but sky is everywhere, ether is everywhere. Similarly, everywhere is Brahman. Unless Brahman enters, creation cannot happen. So everything is transformation of Brahman. And this is a deep subject matter, which is beyond my intelligence. And we can just rely on the purports of Prabhupada and just expect or just pray for the intelligence. And how will that come? That will come only by chanting. We don't know. We are not scientists. Now, although every devotee, we should try to understand how this creation works. But then it's a very deep subject matter. The Sankhya philosophy, original Sankhya philosophy, explained by Lord Kapila in third canto, deals with all the matters. And then how it everything comes from Pradhana, Mahatattva. And Brahman is source of everything. So the very prayer that today's verse says, the mind, intelligence, senses, and living force can neither touch him nor know him. So what's the scope of talking about Sal Brahman? So that will be beyond our catch of our intelligence. So intelligence cannot touch him nor know him. So then what can we do then? I cannot know him, I cannot touch him. I can only offer my respectful obeisance. That's why here Narad Muni is teaching, I offer unto him my respectful obeisance. This is the prayers he is teaching. And the Supreme Brahman, it can be just understood through some examples. It cannot be perceived right now in conditioned state. The spiritual platform, the spiritual subject matter or spiritual elements, I don't know whether I'm saying correctly or not, elements, but anything spiritual, it can only be perceived when a person is on a spiritual platform. Being on material platform, how can I understand spiritual concepts? So Prabhupada explains in the purport of his, when Prabhupada gives purport of Hare Krishna Mahamantra, Prabhupada says that this chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra is directly enacted from spiritual platform. And it surpasses all lower statuses of consciousness. namely the sensual, mental, and intellectual. We are on grossly sensual platform. So something happening on spiritual platform or subject matter which deals with the spiritual world is beyond our conception. It's inconceivable for us. But by coming in touch with the spiritual energy, by coming in touch with the spiritual sound vibration coming from spiritual platform, this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we can also elevate ourselves to that platform. There is no need to understand language. There is no need to understand. There is no need for any mental speculation or intellectual adjustment. This is what Prabhupada says in the purport. Anyone can take part in the chanting. And when we vibrate this Maha Mantra, and how long do we have to vibrate? How long do we have to hear? For a long time. At least one life, one has to be just patient. We can right now only by some logic or common sense logic, some analysis, we can just understand or have faith that creation cannot happen on its own. There is a perfect brain behind it. And then Shruti, Shastras talk about him. So my Shraddha, my faith will determine how much advancement I make in devotional life. I enter the world of spirituality with little faith, but then gradually by Shravanam and Kirtanam, I have to increase my faith. So the different stages of bhakti, Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajan Kriya, Anarth Nivritti, Ruchi, Asakti, Bhava, Prema, Nishtha, Ruchi, Asakti, Bhava, Prema. All these stages are nothing but the levels of faith. A devotee who is at the level of Nishtha, who is Nishtha, Nishtha means he is fixed up now. Nothing can move him from devotional service. His faith has gone way up. But a devotee who is at the level of Anartha Nivritti, like me, who is struggling with his senses, his faith is low. So as much as I increase my faith, and this faith increases by attentive chanting, by attentive hearing. So Lord Kapila instructs, he says that to understand this, one can get liberation by seriously discharging devotional service. So the reference is 3rd canto, 27th chapter, text number 21. In this verse, the Supreme Personality of Godhead says, I'm reading the translation as it is. One can get liberation by seriously discharging devotional service unto me and thereby hearing for a long time about me or from me. By thus executing one's prescribed duties, there will be no reaction and one will be freed from the contamination of matter. So by Sri Prabhupada explains in the purport that there is no necessity of changing one's prescribed duties. One has to act in Krishna consciousness. So, there are two kinds of Shruti. One is spoken by Lord, other is spoken by the Lord, about the Lord and his devotees. So, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So, by continuous regular hearing, means daily, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, every day. By hearing this, we get reminded again and again, I'm not this body. Morning we hear, I'm not this body. After class gets over, my first inquiry is, what is for the body? Where is the food? Where is the cloth? So much we are right now in bodily consciousness. But one who transcends bodily consciousness, he can tolerate anything. Krishna says he can tolerate Sukha, Dukha, Garmi, Shita, Ushna. Everything can be tolerated by this body. We feel so much first off, there are three things. Sudha, fire, and not getting the word. Jiva in this material world. He's actually suffering from various kinds of desires. Like if we fast for one day, we feel so much, our desires go so high for little amount of food. But those who are completely above bodily consciousness, they can tolerate hunger. We cannot imitate this, but the point is we should at least know this fact that this platform can be achieved. This platform can be achieved. It doesn't happen in one day. Our Goswami in Vrindavan, they were in 3 days or 4 days, they were taking little chapati or buttermilk. Raghunath Das Goswami was taking a little buttermilk in 3 days. So how their bodies were functioning? Were they not feeling hunger, thirst? So the thing is, because their consciousness is so absorbed, you can't imagine. So, but this is possible. This is achievable. And how is this possible? By continuous discharging of devotional service. By hearing, Parikshit Maharaj could tolerate hunger and thirst for 7 continuous days. He did not drink even a sip of water. So it's not that it is impossible for Kali Yuga people. But we are not aspiring for staying hungry for a long time. We are aspiring for Krishna Prem. Whether hungry or not hungry, that doesn't matter. So the point is that if we perform continuous hearing, regular hearing, then slowly, slowly, our consciousness rises above material platform. And then we can perceive spiritual truth or reality. We can perceive reality. So that is what we have to do in association of devotees and hear from a pure devotee this sound vibration, this transcendental sound vibration. It acts when it is heard from pure devotee. So similarly, there are various days in the year where great devotees' appearance and disappearance day come, and we get the opportunity to talk about their pastimes, their instructions. So continuing from here, we will also talk about Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur today, because here in India, today is 18th June, and we celebrated his disappearance day today. There you must have observed it yesterday, 17th June. So after little discussion on this purport, we will also touch the brief life sketch of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and his instructions, and then we will end. So then the next verse, it says that previous verse says that mind, intelligence and living force cannot touch him. It cannot know him. So we just pay our obeisance. And in 24th verse, it is explained here that iron has power to burn when made red hot in association of fire. But it cannot burn the original fire. Red hot iron can burn anything, other things which are not in touch with fire. But original fire is not affected. Original fire gives fire to the iron. Similarly, a consciousness, we are tiny jiva. So we are small particle of Brahman. So we are fully dependent on Supreme Brahman. But a jiva who is pure, who is in touch with Supreme Brahman, direct touch with Supreme Brahman, he can affect other jiva. So this is like pure devotees whose consciousness is always in Supreme Lord. Whoever comes in touch with them, they also get reminded of Supreme. So Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that conditioned soul, even in conditional stage, whatever memory, knowledge and forgetfulness we get, it is all coming from Krishna, Supreme Lord. And Krishna, he is not directly doing all this. Krishna's expansion, that we understand. Krishna's expansion, one expansion gives birth to all the material universes. Other expansion enters the universe. Third expansion, Shri Dakshaya Vishnu enters heart as Paramatma. And he is the one who is making us forget things, who is giving us remembrance. Why is he doing that? Because the jiva has desires to enjoy various fruits of this material world. But at all point of time, we are always dependent on Supreme Lord. So this body is nothing but lump of matter. When the soul leaves this body is burnt or buried. But unless it is touched by soul, tiny particle, this matter cannot move. This matter is transforming other matters. But why? Because this matter has touch it has come in touch with a spirit soul, tiny spirit, and that spirit is dependent on Supreme Brahman, Krishna. So that is the way of perceiving Krishna everywhere, that is explained in the purport. Whenever we see any sentient or insentient being in this material world, we should always try to see Krishna. How? These eyes cannot see Krishna, but at least theoretically, I can get reminded. I can remind myself that this is all coming from Krishna. Life is not possible from dead matter. So, continuing from here, today is also the divine disappearance day of His Divine Grace, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. These acharyas, they are always on spiritual platform. They are like these red hot iron. Their fire is never diminished. They are always in association with Krishna. And when they come here, as we heard from Lord Kapila's instruction, that or Sridhar Swami's explanation, that conditional life does not begin when one comes to material world. It begins when one is infected by material modes of nature. So these acharyas, they come to material world, but they are not infected by modes of material nature. Externally, it may appear that they are also living like an ordinary person. Their life is also having various ups and downs. But that's all leela. Whatever is happening in our life is karma bandhana. But whatever is happening in their life is under the yoga maya potency of Lord. That's why it's called leela. Krishna's activities and his pure devotees' activities are called leela. So these acharyas, they appear with a mission in their hands, and after fulfilling their mission, they go back to Supreme Lord. So there, we have heard from our seniors that there are three categories of soul. One category is Nitya Mukta. The other category is Nitya Siddha, which is Nitya Mukta only, but still some distinction is there. And one category is Nitya Baddha. Nitya Mukta are those who are always in spiritual world. They never come to material world. They, even if they come, they come with Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then they leave with Nanda Baba, Yashoda Maya, all these Brajavasis. They never come in this material world if Krishna is not come. They come with Krishna and Krishna take them back to spiritual world. They are Nitya Mukta. And there are Nitya Siddha, who are Nitya Muktas only. They are sent by Krishna in this material world to preach his mission. So they are always Siddha. They never forget Krishna. And Prabhupada says in one place, there was never a moment in my life when I forgot Krishna. So I never forgot Krishna. So he is Nitya Siddha devotee. Externally, it appears that this Nitya Siddha devotee is struggling for money. This Nitya Siddha devotee is saving, running for his life. This Nitya Siddha devotee is participating in freedom fight. But internally, they are always in touch with Krishna. And their life, Krishna is directly taking control. And when they come back in touch with direct devotional service, so we can just see the speed or the amount of service or the kind of activities they perform. It's impossible for a conditional soul who has just begun his spiritual life. So no advanced devotee can imitate an acharya. Acharyas are empowered. Yeah, by their mercy, by their empowerment, anyone can do great activities. But still, what Prabhupada did is impossible for anyone else to do, because he was an empowered devotee. So that empowerment comes from Supreme Lord himself. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Prabhupada says, he is actually the founder acharya of this movement, this Hare Krishna movement. He sowed the seed for ISKCON. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has his big plan of delivering this entire material world by the congregational chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. But with chanting, we also need the proper understanding of philosophy. So for that, he also gave books through his associates, principal associates like Srila Rupa Goswami and Srila Sanatana Goswami and other Goswamis, Shad Goswami. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu before his advent only, he sent his pure devotees and they preached in different ways. And then when Lord Chaitanya came, he brought everything together and then he opened his storehouse. And then his pure devotees continued the legacy. So initially he instructed his associates to write books. So they went to Vrindavan, they wrote books, they constructed temples, they recovered or discovered the lost pastime sites of Lord Krishna and Vrindavan. Then they had trained disciples, next generation, they distributed the books. And that's how it continued. In between came a dark period. And that dark period was practically Gaudiya Vaishnavism was lost. After Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's disappearance, within 200 years, Gaudiya Vaishnavism was practically lost. Very few pure devotees like Jagannath Das Babaji, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, they were there, but they were just practicing. Mass preaching was not happening. So many upper sampradayas had originated and they were flourishing. So when Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur appeared, he had a tremendous task in his hand, very big responsibility. He appeared for three reasons: Gaur Naam, Gaur Kaam, Gaur Dham. Means to spread the holy name of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, to fulfill the mission of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, and to discover the holy place or the birth site of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Gaur Naam, Gaur Kaam, Gaur Dham. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is also known as Saptam Goswami, seventh Goswami. He appeared in Kulinagar village and his childhood name was Kedarnath Dutt, 2nd September 1838. He appeared, that was Sunday, in the morning 7:05 a.m. The exact details are mentioned, 2nd September 1838, Sunday morning 7:05 a.m. he appeared in Kulanagar village. His childhood name was Kedarnath Dutt. From childhood, he had deep inclination for Ramayana and Mahabharata. And as he had read in Ramayana and Mahabharata or heard the great struggle of Lord Ramachandra or Mother Sita and Pandavas, he saw those same miseries or reality of this material world in his own life. When he was merely child, his maternal uncle, he left his body. His elder brother died. Later, his two younger brothers, they also died. At the age of 11, he lost his father also. So we can't even imagine what kind of pain he had gone through. But he started thinking about the nature of the material world. What is the reality of this world? So pure devotees, they are automatically drawn. The elevated yogis or those who have practiced bhakti in their previous life, they are automatically drawn towards Supreme Lord. They can see what others cannot see. Everyone is seeing that people are dying. All my relatives, one by one, they are going. But still, they are so busy in sense gratification. They mean we. I mean, I'm seeing everyone. My father left, my grandfather left, my grandmother left, my uncles left. But still I think, no, Abhi, I have to earn more money, I have to secure a big house. So this is a typical example of a conditioned soul. But he started asking questions about real nature of the material. So then in childhood, he studied in Hindu charitable boarding school in Calcutta. By the age of 18, he had read Quran, Bible, all Western philosophies. He had composed two big poems. His grandfather, his maternal grandfather, he was a very great astrologer. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur also at the age of 9 had become an expert astrologer. So was his son, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He was also an expert astrologer. Srila Prabhupada said, the last expert astrologer on this planet was my Guru Maharaj. So when he was studying, after finishing his education, at the age of 19, he started working in a school. He became a teacher. He was earning just mere income of 15 rupees per month. And financial crunch was so much that he had to sell all jewelries of his house. Then his grandfather, who was a very great astrologers. One day he wrote him a letter that I'm going to leave my body, so come and meet me. So then he went with his relatives to meet his grandfather. But when he went there, he saw that his grandfather was chanting Hare Krishna. And he is perfectly okay. Then his grandfather called him and said, I wanted to talk to you. That's why I wrote a letter like that. So then his grandfather instructed him in spiritual science. And then the grandfather also said, don't worry. After age of 27, you will get everything and you'll become a great devotee of God. After talking like that, after speaking those lines to him, in few days, his grandfather left his body, and he left his body through Brahmarantha. That means he left his body, he went back to spiritual earth. Whoever leaves his body from Brahmarantha, he's a yogi. He can go anywhere, but because his grandfather was a devotee, so definitely he went back to Godhead. So then he came back to Cuttack with his wife and mother. He started teaching there. And that time his salary was 45 rupees. So his wife gave birth to a son, but she left her body and she left behind a 10 months old son. After 2 months, that son also died. We can't even imagine what is happening in his life. Why does Krishna do so to his pure devotees? Just to give us inspiration. Whatever is happening in your life is nothing. If I have given up something, it is nothing in comparison to what Goswamis gave up. If troubles are coming in my life, it is nothing in comparison to what came in Acharya's life or in great devotees' life. But yet they continued on their devotional service. So I should also continue with diligence. I should not slacken. So then he desired to read Chaitanya Charitamrita and perform Shuddha Bhakti. So he met one Vaishnava in Cuttack who told him about Chaitanya Charitamrita. Unfortunately, that time not even a single copy was present, available. And now because of Srila Prabhupada's mercy, we have so many books and temples everywhere. So we don't understand the importance. But those times, there was not even one copy of Chaitanya Charitamrita available. So he was in search of that. And with great endeavor, he found one copy, original copy, that he reprinted again. And later Prabhupada gave commentary, even Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave commentary, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave commentary on Chaitanya Charitamrita, which became the basis of Srila Prabhupada's commentary. So when he was alone, so he married, he married to Srimati Bhagavati Devi. Bhagavati Devi was very expert devotee. She was very expert in taking care of household work and other things. So our Srila Prabhupada, he says that all our Grihastha devotees, they should learn from the life of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and his wife, how he lived his Grihastha life. He wrote more than 100 books. Bhagavat, its philosophy, ethics and theology. He wrote this book. And he wrote one book on Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya, his teachings and life and precepts. And this book went to London. This book went to Western countries. And it went in 1896, the same year Srila Prabhupada appeared. The year Prabhupada appeared, the book went. So Prabhupada appeared with that purpose, that he will distribute books and flood the entire world with books. Then in 1871, he became chief magistrate of Jagannath Puri. That was the highest post which was offered to any Indian that time. British government was very happy with him. So what other judges would take years to make any judgment, Bhaktivinoda Thakur would do that or make that judgment in hours, few hours only. He was so expert in management. And his schedule, his daily schedule, if we go through that, there is not even 1 minute or 1 second which went wasted. He would wake up, he would come back from office, evening he would sleep at 8 and wake up at 10 or 11. Sometimes he would take rest for 3 hours, sometimes for little more, but not more than that. Then whole night he would write books. He would write books. And then morning he would take short break and then he would chant japa. After chanting his japa, he would perform his morning duties and then he would attend some letters. Then he would take some breakfast. not much, some fruits and half liter milk. Then he would go to office. Then he would again perform japa for 2 hours, read Bhagavatam, go to office, and then come back from office in afternoon. For 1 hour, he would take, he would meet people or attend to letters. Then again, he would go to office, come back in the evening, then continue with his preaching work. And evening, he would just take again half liter milk, 2 chapatis, that's it. And then he would take rest. So that was his life. And everything was perfectly, everything was on time. And his wife was equally supportive. So if husband is spiritually elevated, wife should take the husband as a spiritual master. Or if wife is spiritually elevated, the husband should support wife. Both husband and wife, if they are serving guru, spiritual master, and not seeing each other as a means of sense gratification, then that Grihastha ashram is glorious. It is more glorious than any other ashram. And such a house becomes a Vaikuntha. Prabhupada writes in the purport of 13th chapter, verse 8 to 12, he writes, such house, one does not need to leave such house. So, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was an ideal example. Our Srila Prabhupada says, our Grihastha should become Paramahamsas like Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is an ideal for all of us. He had a big family. He had 8 sons, 6 daughters. Later, one son died, so 13 remained. So, he preached extensively and uprooted all the Apasampradaya. There were more. So then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur continued with that work. And his house in Kolkata, Bhakti Bhavan, became the center, first center of Gaudiya Mission, Gaudiya Math. When he was in Jagannath Puri, there one associate of Mahaprabhu, Jagannath Das, he was rejected by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because he was associating with Mayavadi. So later he became Mayavadi. So he started a sampradaya called Atibadi. Atibadi Sampradaya. Badi matla house. In Bengali, Badi means home. So he started his own Sampradaya. This Sampradaya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will reappear. So somebody in his Sampradaya was acting as Brahma, somebody as Balaram. So he started preaching against that. Then later, in that line only, in that Atibadi Sampradaya, one Tantric, his name was Vrishni Sen. So he was portraying himself as Mahavishnu. He had some mystical powers. He could enter fire. He could produce fruits. So he was spoiling women, polluting them, and taking worship of people, calling himself as incarnation of Mahavishnu. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur challenged him that if you are incarnation of Mahavishnu, then you lift Govardhan just like Krishna lifted. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was fearless. So he took 100 Muslim police with him, Muslim policemen, not Hindu, because Hindus are all afraid of this Tantric. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur took him and caught him and put him in jail. That Tantric, he actually performed some magic, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur's half body was paralyzed. But he was not moved. He kept him in the jail. Later, one policeman, he came to know that Tantric's power is in his air. So he cut that Tantric's hair, and then he left it. The Tantric died in the jail. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur also got okay. Actually, his entire family had got affected by disease, including his wife. So they all got okay. But he had full faith in Srimad Bhagavatam. Devotees, they don't show their siddhis when they don't aspire for it. Krishna shows siddhi for them. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur preached through his books, essays, and through his poems. The biggest contribution, one of the biggest contribution of acharyas like Narottam Das Thakur, Lochan Das Thakur, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, is their poems, their bhajans, which we sing in our ISKCON movement. Morning till evening, we are singing bhajans of Narottam Das Thakur, Lochan Das Thakur, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he, in the final, final part of his life, he performed intense bhajan His bhajan kuti is Swananda Sukhada, which is in Mayapur, in Navadvip Dham, in Bodrum Dvipa. And his guru, although was Vipin Vihari Goswami, but later he associated with Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj when he went to Vrindavan. And then Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj also came to Mayapur. 6 months he would stay in Mayapur, 6 months in Vrindavan. So Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj and another great Acharya, Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, these three great Acharyas of our Vaidya Vaishnava Sampradaya, they would meet in that house, Swananda Sukhda. And one more Acharya, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, his room is also there. So all great four Acharyas before Prabhupada, they met in that house regularly. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur Samadhi is in that house. And his personal deity is Gaur Gadadhar, that is also there. So Gaur Gadadhar worship is very elevated. It's for elevated devotees. It's not for people like us. That's why Prabhupada did not give us Gaur Gadadhar. Gaur Gadadhar Paramhamsa's worship. So that's a very elevated topic, which is for a neophyte like me, it's not good to talk on that. I don't even know. So this is how he lived his life. We just discussed in brief. Devotees can hear more about him. And he wrote many books like Sharanagati, Gitavali. Common people who cannot read philosophy, who cannot understand, if they can just memorize bhajans of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they will understand all the Bhagavad philosophy. What should be the mood of a devotee, how one should pray, what is Sharanagati, how fallen one should consider himself, or the glories of holy name. Everything he has written in his poems. So we should by heart these bhajans and sing it every day so that we keep ourselves in fresh remembrance of Krishna. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, and these powerful lines are inscribed on the Samadhi of Srila Haridas Thakur. He reasons ill that Vaishnavas die when thou art still living in sound. The Vaishnavas die to live, and living spreads the holy name around. So Vaishnavas, they never die. They are always living in the sound, in their instruction. So one is called Vani Seva, one is called Vapu Seva. So with Vani Seva, we can remain in touch with all the Acharyas. But Prabhupada said, I will never die. I will always live in my books. So when we read Prabhupada's books, when we read hear his lectures, we are directly associating with Prabhupada. Prabhupada giving a lecture on Nectar of Devotion says, one who reads Nectar of Devotion, he is directly associating with Srila Rupa Goswami. So like that, we can associate with Krishna also directly. If we read Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, we are directly associating with Krishna. So they are always present. Those who want to take guidance, those who want to perform pure devotional service, everything is present. It's the only thing missing is our desire. If we align our desire with Supreme Lord's desire, then we also become part of that spiritual leela. Krishna is ever inviting us to that transcendental platform, transcendental world, where he is performing his pastimes and his pure devotees are assisting him. We can also become part of that, and that is our aspiration. Everything is available. These acharyas have appeared on this earth to take us back, who have no credit, we have no eligibility, no qualification. But if we sincerely follow acharyas, we can expect their mercy and thereby go back to the spiritual world, which is our eternal home. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Thank you very much. If there are any corrections, suggestions, or questions, devotees can.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanavat Pranam. Thank you so much, Prabhu, for glorifying the Acharya. It's very nice to hear Bhaktivinoda Thakur's glories, Prabhu, on this auspicious day. Thank you so much. So we request, dear devotees, if you have any questions or realizations, please go ahead.
So there is a question in the chat box.
Yeah, Prabhu, you can read that, Prabhu.
Yeah, I read the question. I'm just taking out the reference. So as I mentioned that Nitya Mukta, Nitya Siddha are practically same. And Prabhupada has sometimes used this as interchangeably. But I have heard from senior devotee that Nitya Siddha, Nitya Mukta, this is a little distinction. So all are Jiva Tattva, Nitya Mukta, Yashodamaya, etc. are what Tattva? Nitya Siddhas are Jiva Tattva, Nitya Mukta, Yashodamaya, etc. are what Tattva? So I could not understand the question. What is Jiva Tattva? Yeah. You all are Jiva Tattva. Marginal
Prabhuji,
energy. But,
I just wanted to ask that Nitya Siddha, you said like Srila Prabhupada and Acharyas, so they fall into the category of, like I have heard that there is Vishnu Tattva, Shiva Tattva, then Jiva Tattva. So just wanting to know whether the Acharyas fall into which Tattva, and because yourself even mentioned about Yashoda Ma, Devaki, so they are actually Krishna's eternal parents, so they will not fall into the category of Jiva Tattva, right? So I mean, how would you characterize them?
What do you understand by Jiva Tattva?
The living entities. The Jiva Tattvas, those who come, I mean, we are material bodies because of our conditioning. But of course, they are the Acharyas and all, they don't have any conditioning. They are sent by Krishna, as you said. So,
yeah. So, but why the Nitya Muktas and Nitya Siddha, they cannot be Jiva Tattva? I mean, where does Jiva Tattva originate from? I mean, we are just repeating the terms. We actually don't understand its meaning, frankly.
Okay.
He says Jiva Tattva, Vishnu Tattva, Jiva Tattva, but do we really know? I don't know. So Jiva Tattva, Prabhupada at one place explains there are three Tattva, Vishnu Tattva, Shakti Tattva, and Jiva Tattva. So Tattva means truth. Tattva means in truth. So Prabhupada explains this is Supreme Personality of Godhead is Krishna. There are many Tattvas such as Vishnu Tattva, Jiva Tattva, and Shakti Tattva. But above everything is the Vishnu Tattva, which is all pervading. So there are innumerable souls. Some are expansions of his internal potency. Some are expansions of his marginal potency. So this also comes in 7th canto. 7th canto, I'm forgetting the reference because recently I finished it. So Prabhupada mentions in one purport that devotees like Yashoda Maya and Gopis, they are expansions of internal potency of Krishna. And we are expansion of his marginal potency. So this much I have read. And I think Nitya Siddha, Nitya Mukta, they fall in that category. They are expansions of internal potency. We are expansion of marginal potency. That's why we are prone to fall in Maya. But once we are back to spiritual world, then we also become Nitya Mukta. From there is no return.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
So the distinction in the spiritual world between those who have expanded from internal potency, those who have expanded from marginal potency, how is that? I have no idea. But Prabhupada said, once you go back to spiritual world, there is no distinction.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Mataji Param Mata Param Patma Mataji, please go ahead. Mataji Shama Mataji.
Hey Krishna Mataji. So I have a question. Who are Prabhuji, the Nityavadas? Who are the Nityavadas? Like they cannot go to the spiritual realm.
We are Nityavadas. It does not mean they cannot reach a spiritual world. The word Nitya is used because how much time we are here, we cannot calculate. No one can trace back when Jiva came in this material world, what happened originally. And there is no need also. So Prabhupada uses the word time immemorial. from time immemorial we are here. That's what it's called. Just like it is said that by drinking nectar one becomes immortal, but no one becomes immortal. It's just the life is so long, duration is so long, it appears like immortality. And because there is no suffering from old age or disease and long life, so it almost appears like being immortal. But in reality, no one is immortal. So, Nitya Baddha means we who are in this material world from time immemorial. But if you perform devotional service and go back to spiritual world, then we will become Nitya Mukta. Then we don't come back to this material world.
Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Is there any more questions for Prabhuji? Please, if anybody have. Yeah. Sukhasagari Mataji, please go ahead with your question.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dhanvai Pranams. Thank you for the class. I just, maybe I missed the detail, but can you please, explain what the difference is between Nitya Mukta and Nitya Siddha? I thought they were used synonymously, but maybe I missed something, Prabhu.
Okay, so I mentioned that this is what I have heard from my superiors. I have not found this, and I have not tried to find the reference in Prabhupada's purports, but I did not find it contradictory to what Prabhupada has explained. That's why I repeated it. Nitya Muktas are those, some souls are always with Krishna. They don't separate from Krishna ever, not even for fulfilling his mission. They come with Krishna, go back with Krishna. And then we gave example of Yashoda Mayan and Baba, Devaki, Vasudev. They come with Krishna, go back with Krishna. They are never separated from Krishna. Some souls, they come with a divine mission in their hands, like Acharya, Prabhupada, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. They are also ever, ever liberated. But they come with a mission, they fulfill that mission, go back. They are also uncontaminated. They are not touched by material modes. And then some are Nitya Baddha. Nitya Baddha means we who are always in this material world. Since when we are here, we don't know. But we can go back to spiritual world. Once we enter spiritual world, yad gatva ananivartante tad dhama paramamama Krishna, guaranteed. One who enters the spiritual world, he never comes back. Na nivartante.
Sure, Prabhu, thank you. So are we to understand that the immediate kithan kin of Krishna, like, you know, his parents or like Balram, and I mean, they are like direct expansions, right, of Krishna. Like
Balram is not like parents. Lord Balram is Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is Vishnu Tattva. Mm-hmm. There is Vishnu Tattva, there is Jiva Tattva and Shakti Tattva. There are three Tattvas. Vishnu Tattva means Ramadi Murtishu Kala Niyamena Tishtan, Rama, Narasimha, Varaha, Krishna. They are Vishnu Tattva. Jiva Tattva is meant for service. So some Jivas, they are expansion of internal potency. That internal potency is Radharani. And some Jivas are expansion of marginal potency. Whatever it is, they are all meant for serving Supreme Lord. And then Shakti Tattva is Yoga Maya and Mahamaya. They are Shakti Tattva. So there are, these are the different Tattvas.
Sure, Prabhu. Thank you for explaining that. My question was more about like the immediate associates of Lord Krishna. Like, you know, you mentioned, yeah, Balram is directly the first expansion of Krishna. But how about his parents, Prabhuji? I mean, are you saying that they fall into
We just explained they are Nitya Muktas. They are expansions of internal potency. They are never separated from Krishna.
Okay, so they are not Jiva Tattvas in that sense, because Jiva Tattva is like a separated marginal energy, right?
I don't know whether technically we cannot call them Jiva Tattva, or Jiva Tattva only means one who is in material world. So I don't know about that.
I see. No worries, Prabhu. I was just, you know, trying to put two and two together with the Mamai Vamsho verse. You know, yeah. So that's the reason, because now you just said that they're eternally with Krishna and part of his internal potency. So I thought they don't fall into the Jiva Tattva.
Yeah, so what you have quoted right now and what you have posted in the, someone has posted in.
That's me.
There are two types of Jivas liberated from Maya, Nitya Mukta and Baddha Mukta, those who were bound but became liberated. So here also Prabhupada is writing, there are two types of Jivas. liberated also he is calling them jiva. Jiva who were never bound by maya are called nitya mukta. The nitya muktas are of who? Where is this from?
Sorry?
Yeah, Priti Vilasni Mataji has posted that.
So, okay, you can read the details, but thing is, here also Nitya Muktas are also called as Jiva. So, I don't know why devotees are calling Jiva Tattva means only referring to only those who are in the material world. I have not heard like that. If it is so, I need to check with my superiors and Prabhupada, educate myself further on this topic.
So, the end of quote says that the latter, here we go. The Nitya Muktas are also of two types, Aishwarya Gata Nitya Mukta and Madhurya Gata Nitya Mukta. The former are the associates of Lord Narayan and Vaikuntha and are the atomic particles of Mula Sankarsana. The latter are the associates of Lord Krishna and Goloka and they are atomic particles of Sri Baladev situated in Goloka Vrindavan. So it's a very fine difference.
Yes, that fine details are there, but the point was, question was, are they Jeev Tattva or Nitya Mukta? So I think Mataji was asking question, she was considering Jeev Tattva as only those who are in material world. But as we read from here, even those who are eternally liberated are also referred to as Jeevas. So maybe you are very senior and learned devotee, so you can understand from this.
Sorry, Prabhu, if I conveyed that meaning, I was asking you. They fall under the Jeeva or
like that. But
yeah.
Jeevas are separated energy. That is only Krishna is saying Mamai Vamsho Jeeva Loke. Those Jeevas who are in this loka. Mamai Vamsho Jeeva Loke Jeeva Bhuta Sanatana. Krishna is talking about those who are in this material world. Those who are in the spiritual world, why will Krishna talk about them? They are already in their correct position. So Krishna is talking about all those who are present here, because context is Krishna is teaching Arjuna that, and Arjuna's dilemma was how to fight, why should I fight, and then how can I fight, how can I kill? Krishna is explaining to him that all these jivas present here, not just on this battlefield, in this entire creation, they are all my amshas. Don't think that they are your father or your brother. They are my sons actually. So, it does not mean that only those who are in material, they are called Jeevatata. I mean, these are just technical words. Our basic understanding is, our essential understanding is that there is one tattva which is meant for service, tiny souls. Some are eternally liberated, some are eternally conditioned. But even eternally conditioned souls can become eternally liberated by going back to spiritual world. But wherever we are meant to serve. And then Vishnu Tattva, they are meant to be served. They are expansions of Krishna. And Shakti Tattva, they operate the spiritual and material world. So one Shakti operates the material world, one Shakti operates the spiritual world. And for the final details, as Mataji has posted this paragraph from Jaya Dharma, devotees can refer to the writings of Acharyas, and even Prabhupada has spoken at many places about these three tattvas. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is explained in great detail.
Sure, Prabhu. So in summary, are we to understand, like from the article Mataji so kindly posted and your explanations, that and these associates of Krishna, like the eternal associates, are Nitya Muktas? So is that a good understanding, Prabhu?
Yeah, eternal Krishna's associates, they are eternally liberated. They are Nitya Muktas. That's why they are Krishna's associates.
And like the article says, that they fall under the two types of jivas, right?
So that is detail. That is detail. Some are in Vaikuntha, some are in Goloka Vrindavan. That is detail. Whether I'll go to Vaikuntha or Goloka, that is not the problem in hand right now. Problem is right now I have to get out of this material. Once one realizes one Swarupa by perfecting devotional service, everything will be evident. Where do I belong to? So this Mahamantra comes from Goloka, but it can drop you anywhere.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. I was not able to copy the second paragraph. If you permit me, I can just read it to elaborate what the first paragraph means. Is it okay?
I think, Mataji, it's not required anymore now. Okay. But still, if you want to read it, you can read.
No. Whatever you desire, Prabhu. I can send it to Mataji separately too.
Mataji, if she's... I think this is clear now.
Okay.
Yeah, sure, Preeti. If you can pass me the reference, I'll so appreciate. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Thank
you. Mataji, you can pass the reference to Sukha Mataji.
Sure, Mataji, I've sent.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much, devotees.
Thank you, Prabhuji, once again for the beautiful class. I would like to offer my obeisances to you and all the Vaishnavas assembled on the call. Vancha Kalpa Taru Bhyasya Kripa Sindhu Bhyeva Cha Patita
Kripa Sindhu Bhyeva Cha Patita Na Pavanikyo Vaishnavi
Ananta Koti Vaishnav Rindhi Ki Jai Shila Prabhupada Ki Jai His Grace Adukshad Krishna Prabhuji Ki Jai. Thank you all. Thank you,
Prabhuji.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.